and welcome to the New Creation Lutheran Church Faith and Life Podcast. We're a welcoming faith community in San Jose, California, grounded in the love of God and committed to living that love in the world. We offer two kinds of episodes each week. First, you'll hear recordings of our Sunday worship services. So whether you're traveling, at home, or exploring our community for the first time, you can join us in worship. Second, we share episodes inspired by our blog, where we reflect on scripture, explore how faith speaks to today's world, and talk about what it means to follow Jesus in daily life. While we work out the technical details of our production process, you'll hear an AI voice reading some of our episodes. We're doing this so we can share content with you right away, and we'll transition to live voices as our setup develops. Thanks for listening. We're glad you're here.
Then with that, we begin with some fabulous readings this morning. Morning, Matt.
Morning. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok.
He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak.
When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him.
Then the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." Oh, sorry.
Not a problem.
But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed."
Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there Jacob was blessed.
So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip.
Our next reading is from Psalm 121. "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?"
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God will not let your foot be moved, and keeping God's people will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil and will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Our good news gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So he said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people.
In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my accuser.' For a while he refused, but later this judge said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.'"
And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to God's people who cry to God day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, justice will be quickly granted, and yet when the Son of the World comes, will he find faith on earth?" How many of you here have ever built sandcastles at the beach? Anybody? A few of you. Good. Okay. So this might mean something to you. For those of you who haven't, I hope, you know, that you'll find a way through this. Blessed by living close enough to the beach, within 30 minutes, maybe 40 when I was growing up, we often went to the beach. And besides playing in the waves, my brother and I would build sandcastles. And we would bring shovels, cups, buckets, molds, and all kinds of things so that we could build these amazing, elaborate sandcastles. And we do this at the edge of the very wet sand. And if you've built sandcastles, you know there are certain places you build and certain places you don't. The places that you normally sit at the beach, you're not going to build a sandcastle there. You're just going to pour dry sand and it's going to go like this. So you've got to be near the water's edge. And we would create elaborate castles with moats and turrets, towers and flags. There's often a delineation, though, between his and mine. We would collect sand crabs and add them to the moat. And yes, I realize that they didn't stay in the moat, really, but it was still fun, and we still added them to the moat. We would work on this castle all day, all day. And as the day would go, the water would come further up the beach, ebbing ever so much closer and closer to our sandcastle. And the next thing you know, there goes your moat. The moat is always the first to go. If you've built sandcastles and built a moat and you like to be anywhere near the water, the very first thing to go is the moat. That, of course, is because that's the way water works. Is it comes up, it fills up your moat, and then the sand just takes over. And so then we would quickly, as fast as we could, we'd dig out the moat again and we'd shore up the building. And we would do this after just every single time. Wave would come in, moat would be gone, build up the moat, structure, get that castle back. We persisted all day building these sandcastles, and we loved every minute of it. As I was reading through scriptures, a word struck me. Can you imagine, after hearing my story, what that word might be? The word is persistence. Persistence kept coming back to me, whether I listened and read about Jacob, or I read about the woman and the unjust judge. There was this way of weaving these stories together through this persistence. So I decided to look up a definition for persistence. And your basic, you know, if you went to Webster's Dictionary, the definition is firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm like, okay, persistent. Doesn't matter if there's, you know, an obstacle in the way. I will be obstinate enough to continue to try and do the same thing over and over again. But then I thought I'd look up what is persistence in the Bible, because it's a little bit different. And so Google was kind enough to give me a couple of different options. And so the first one was persistence in prayer. The Bible encourages persistent prayer, emphasizing a continuous effort rather than a single request. A continuous effort rather than a single request. As a demonstration of faith, persistence is often a sign of great faith and trust in God. And then the overall definition that I found from the scriptures was, persistence means continuing steadfastly in a course of action, particularly in faith, prayer, and doing good despite difficulties, opposition, or setbacks. It is a demonstration of deep trust and faith in God. And I stopped there and I said, okay, how does that relate to these stories? Every preacher this week, every pastor read these scriptures, and we all read through this good news of Jesus' parable, and we were all going, Jesus, did you just say if we're persistent, we'll get everything we ask for? Just keep praying, and you will get what you deserve. No, it says that we're going to get the prayers that we come to. But I thought to myself, I'm not sure that's what Jesus meant. That can't be what Jesus meant. We often talk about what and how we pray and the way prayer changes us. But more importantly is that God is not Santa Claus, right? We don't have Santa Claus prayers, right? You can't be like, hey, God, you know what I really wish I had was a new car. Can you get me one of those tomorrow? Hey, God, you know what I really need is I need this, or I need that, or I wish I had one of those things, or I wish you could cure someone, or I wish. They're not always prayers that are useless. I want to be clear about that because I pray for people's health all the time, all the time. But we also know the outcomes of those prayers are not always what we asked for. I ask for miracle healings every day for people, and they do not happen. I pray all the time. And what do we get? Someone still has cancer. Someone still has whatever other disease they might have. And we wonder when Jesus says, well, how much more will your Father give you if you are persistent in prayer? And so I sat and I thought about why I pray. Why do we pray? There's a reason why we do it. It's not necessarily to have these perfect outcomes. If that's why we're praying, we might want to go back and think a little bit longer and a little bit harder about this. We are like Jacob, and we wrestle all the time. We wrestle with ourselves and our thoughts, and we wrestle with God, and we wrestle with the world around us to try and understand and make meaning out of everything. We try and make meaning out of how somebody in one spot can't eat, another person over here can't get fed, can't get cured, another person over here needs, and we wrestle in our hearts with, why, God, why is this happening? And we wrestle like Jacob wrestled on the beach. We wrestle with these things. We wrestle with the understanding of being a part of this family of God, and every miracle doesn't happen every day for everyone we love and for every just issue we can possibly imagine. And I think at some point, maybe we become tired because we're still waiting to see it as we imagined it. But it doesn't happen the way we imagined it. It doesn't happen the way we said it had to happen. It doesn't happen that way. And as time went on, many of you maybe have learned new techniques for prayer. But here's the thing about never ceasing in prayer. The thing about when we pray, it isn't really about God. You could hear a pin drop. It's really not about God when we pray. It's really about us. When we pray, it's not for the holiness of for God that we pray. God doesn't need us to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. We are the ones who in which prayer is for. More than anything else, it is for ourselves. How many people have spent 10 minutes in prayer in the last week? Anybody spent 10 minutes in prayer in the last week? I love that. Thank you. What do you feel like after you've prayed for 10 minutes? Does anyone feel, oh, I like, that was the best response, and no one else knows what it was because I'm in the front of the room. But this was the response. That was the response. When we pray, we are the ones in which are touched by the action of the prayer. We are the ones who come in persistence because it's the place of which we have to unburden our own selves. Even when you are praying for someone else, if you are praying for someone else and you say, this person is on my heart, that's a really Christian-y thing. We say, oh, you've been on my heart lately, right? You've been on my heart lately. What does it mean if someone has been on your heart lately? It means that you are feeling overwhelmed for whatever is happening in their lives. And so if you are feeling heavy from what is happening to people and places and spaces around you, what better way than to lift that out of you? What better way than to share that space and that place with God and with others? What better way for us is to be able to share that and to give that up and to know that God is in the midst of all that is happening? Who does not feel better? Like, right? I love Liz's expression. We don't pray just to have them all answered. We pray because in the midst of prayers, in the midst of sharing our burdens and our losses and our grief and our fears, we pray because in response to our prayers, we and others are blessed. We and others are blessed. And it's hard to imagine that for any minute or moment that God is not concerned that we pray because God needs you to be praying. God's concern is for your heart. God's concern is for you if you are not praying. God's only concern would be, you know, if you were praying about things, if you were willing to share and give them away and let them out of your heart, you will feel blessed. And for that, we continue to pray day and night. It is interesting to remember in these two scriptures that there was blessing for both Jacob a blessing and for the persistent woman. And it's hard because the persistent woman has come up to this unjust judge who could care less about her. Imagine that, an unjust judge who could care less about her, but yet still gives in to what her needs are. And Jesus says, imagine that God is anything but an unjust judge, but God is there in the midst, ready to listen. Ready to hear where justice needs to flow. I mentioned that for me, going to the No Kings rally yesterday was all about justice. It was about the fact that we live in a country in which our forefathers made sure we had constitutional rights written. Can you imagine? This is hundreds of years ago now, 200 and something years ago now, right? That were written to make sure that we could live in a just system where our voices mattered, that we had the right to be angry sometimes, but we had the right to come and to gather together and to share that in peaceful ways. Please don't bring your guns, don't bring your swords. In peaceful ways, with dialogue. And oftentimes it's in the midst of dialogue that things change, that we begin to understand others. In the midst of our dialogue with God in prayer, we begin to understand God, ourselves, and others. Sometimes it's easy to just look at people and be like, I don't like you. Has anyone ever taken time to pray for the people they don't like? Yes. And what were the outcomes of that? Anybody have some good outcomes out of praying for people that they don't? Good outcome? You had a good outcome? I got one no, absolutely not. I see one absolutely did not have a good outcome. I have found that if I am willing to pray for the people I'm most opposed to, or at least in the moment, I could be opposed to a lot of people at different times, but in the moment, I find that my heart gets changed. I find that my heart gets changed, and they may not ever change. My prayers don't change the other. My prayers change me. My prayers changed my own understanding of situations. My prayers changed my understanding of how to see the situation and how to be in the midst of what I do not like. We pray not for God's sake. We pray for our sake. We pray because in the midst of our prayers, there are blessings. Sometimes the blessings aren't noticeable for a very long time. If you're like me, you've prayed for something for a long time, and you think sometimes it is for naught. And 6 months or 6 years can go by, and you stop and you go, oh, I was blessed in the midst of that, and my prayers were answered. They weren't answered necessarily the way I kind of thought they were going to get answered, and it even took longer than I ever thought it could possibly take. And yet there is the answers that I was looking for from the prayers of which I prayed. But even more importantly, was in the midst of me praying, I lost the feeling of being out of control. I lost the feeling of being out of control because I was no longer trying to be the one who was in control. When we allow to trust and put our faith in God and allow God to be the one in the mystery, the blessings come forth because they're not about us any longer. They're all about God. And so when we hear that if we just keep praying, God will answer and give us all the things we've ever wanted, it's hard to imagine that that's really what Jesus meant. And so I think what Jesus was saying is that in prayer and always being in prayer, you will find yourself changed. You will find yourself changed for the better. You will find yourself blessed, blessed for being able to come to new understandings and clearer visions in your own life. And so I will say to you, as you wrestle with your thoughts and your demons, with fear, with hope, with anxiety, with love, and in depression, and all other aspects of your life, know that you are both heard and that you are blessed, and that you are a blessing to those around you, and that your prayers do make a difference, always and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the New Creation Lutheran Church podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to subscribe and share it with a friend. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday worship, offered live at our church, interactively on Zoom, and live streamed on our YouTube channel. All the details you need can be found at www.newcreationlutheranchurch.org. If you'd like to support our ministry, you can give through the links on our website, or text the word GIVE to 844-703-9144. That's text GIVE to 844-703-9144. We're grateful to have you with us. See you next time.